John Pica Productions, and BDC Entertainment, in association with the Diesel Powered Podcast, brings you Tales from the Flip Side. Sponsored by Comic Bento. Get a bento box, a mystery box of comics and graphic novels in your mailbox every month. $50 worth of graphic novels for under 20 bucks. Visit mycomicbento.com to find out more. Also brought to you by Audible. Get an audiobook free on us just for trying out Audible at audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. They have over 100,000 titles, and you can choose one absolutely free on us. audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. Now, it's time for the brand new Tales from the Flip Side with your host, the comic book loving, time traveling, diesel punk, prophet of pop culture, the king of swing, the tower of power, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool. He is John Pica. You can call him Johnny. Hey there, all you hep cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is the official first episode, the debut episode, if you will, of Tales from the Flip Side 2, as in also. And it is being broadcast as part of the Diesel-Powered Podcast Network. And we're really excited to be coming to you with this new show. It is a spin-off, or inspired by, a tie-in to my book, Tales from the Flip Side, The Adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens. And every week, we're going to be coming to you, or I'm going to be coming to you, with stuff that doesn't necessarily fit within the typical framework of the Diesel Powered Podcast. Pop culture, comics, movies, sci-fi, TV, from a diesel punk's perspective, but not necessarily all diesel punk, if you will. Consider it the further adventures of Big Daddy Cool in the 21st century. So this is the first official episode, and you know, I thought a great way to open this first show of the new year, that's 2017, was just to pay homage to really a diesel punk legend, an icon, who we lost right on Christmas. I'm talking, of course, about Carrie Fisher, who played the character of Princess Leia in the Star Wars saga. And some of you are saying, John, what are you talking about, a diesel punk legend? If you've not been listening to the Diesel Powered Podcast for any length of time, you may not realize that I happen to consider, and I'm not alone in this, there are a lot of people in the community that do, I consider Star Wars to be diesel punk. It is contemporary in origin. It draws its inspiration and aesthetics from the 1920s through the 40s. You can see that influence from the movie serials of the time, Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, etc. And it's got, you know, punk. It's got sci-fi, fantasy, obviously, but it also celebrates the countercultural characters in the Rebel Alliance fighting against the mainstream government and culture of the day. And that's, you know, kind of what us punks do, not in a rebellious necessarily way, or, you know, a destructive way, but you know, we tend to buck contemporary culture a little bit. So Carrie Fisher passed away over Christmas 2016. Her mother, Debbie Reynolds, who was a star of the diesel era, musicals, Broadway, Vegas, Singing in the Rain, just a fantastic performer, died the very next day of a stroke. Now that's crazy. So we lost both Carrie Fisher and her mom, Debbie Reynolds. One a Diesel era personality, the other a Diesel punk character, actress. And, you know, for me, wow, I don't want to say that I was shocked or surprised. I mean, Carrie Fisher has had a very colorful life, let's put it that way. And she had a heart attack. And, you know, heart disease is actually the leading killer of women in the world. We think about it as being a man's disease, but it's actually the leading killer of women as well. And so, you know, odds were really not in Carrie's favor because of the kind of lifestyle she's lived, the schedule that she's been keeping up. So, you know, sad, yes. Shocked, surprised, no. I know I'm going to get some hate mail about that. But I am very sad because Carrie Fisher was really my first Hollywood crush. When I was 13 years old, going into the sixth grade, is that right? 1983. Yeah, I was 13. I was going into the sixth grade, the summer of my sixth grade year, Return of the Jedi came out. And, you know, Leia in, I'm just going to be, you know, misogynistic here for a minute. Very sexist. Spoiler warning, trigger alert. As a 13-year-old boy, seeing Leia in the slave costume, the gold bikini, it was the first time in my young life, my young male life, that I paid attention. I instantly fell in love with Carrie Fisher from that moment on. And any movie that she was in, I was a big fan of. Man with One Red Shoe, The Blues Brothers, When Harry Met Sally. And let me tell you what, in Man with One Red Shoe, if you've not seen this, she wears this smoking bikini or leopard print lingerie set that, wow. Wow. That's all I got to say. Go find it on video, watch it, and see if you don't feel the same way. Yes, I lusted after Princess Leia as a 13-year-old boy. And I think all 13-year-old boys or all men at the time when that movie came out felt the same way. And of course, the gold bikini has been become the fantasy of fanboys everywhere. And you see dozens upon dozens and dozens of slave Leias at the big Comic-Con San Diego, Dragon Con, New York Comic-Con, C2E2 in Chicago. And I predict that 2017, we will see even more slave Leias on the scene in honor of Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia. Now, the good news is that she actually did finish filming episode 8 of the new Star Wars. So we will see her again, and that's really exciting. Now, to close out 2016, I thought it would be fun to do my superlative lists, my top 5 best of the year. I'm going to do this really quick. I would love to get your response. You can email us at feedback@dieselpoweredpodcast.com, or you can email me directly at bigdaddycool@bigdaddycoolshows.com. Let me know what you think of my list. What did I leave off? What would you add or take away? These are my top 5 movies of 2016. So 2016 had a lot of great movies and a lot of real duds too. And I saw a lot of them. I didn't see all of them. I didn't see the new Transformers. I didn't see the new Ninja Turtles. So I missed out on those. There's still a couple that I haven't caught yet in the theater. So, you know, this list is subject to change in the next couple of weeks. However, as of January 1, 2017, these are my top 5 favorite movies of 2016. Number 5, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This was a visual spectacle. It was a super great treat. Dieselpunk classic. It had all of the elements of dieselpunk. It was contemporary in origin. It was set in the 1920s, so it had the aesthetics of the diesel era, and it had fantasy, magic, tech, everything that a dieselpunk movie should have, and just a fantastic movie. I was really surprised how much I liked this movie. I went to it because of the aesthetics, and I couldn't wait to see it. But I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan. However, this is a movie about the grown-ups in the Harry Potter universe, which is a big deal for me. I'm not a big fan of seeing kids become wizards. I know it's an international sensation, Harry Potter and the kid, the boy who lived, whatever. But that just didn't float my boat. But seeing grown adults in the 20s, you know, waging magical war against forces unseen was really something quite spectacular. Really great, really great. Speaking of magic, Marvel's Doctor Strange is number 4 on my list. And this was another one I went into not knowing quite what to expect, a little bit hesitant about my enthusiasm. I've never been a huge Doctor Strange fan. Now, if you've been listening to the Diesel Powered Podcast for any length of time, you know that our co-host Larry Amiet is a huge Doctor Strange fan. And I actually haven't talked to him about this movie yet. So I would love, Larry, for you to chime in and, you know, post your comments on our Facebook page about Doctor Strange. I've opened the door for you now. It's acceptable. I liked Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. He did a great job. I loved the way they blended the comic book canon with elements from the animated film from about, 8 or 10 years ago. Really, really great. But what I liked most about it was the way Doctor Strange defeated Dormammu. He did it not through physical confrontation. He did it using his brain. And that's different than what we've seen in the Marvel movies so far. Really, really great. That's number 4. Number 3 is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Now, there are a couple of reasons why this didn't make number 1. And you may have heard my Rogue One preview or review here on the Diesel Powered Podcast. Easy for you to say, John, first day with my new tongue. You may have heard my review a couple of weeks ago. If you haven't, go back and listen to it, and you'll hear why it's not number 1. Certainly, great film. The most dieselpunk of all of the Star Wars films, and really just a great, great addition to the Star Wars saga. Probably for me, I would rank it number 4 in terms of my favorite out of the 8 films so far. Number 2 on my top 10 of 2016 was Captain America Civil War. First of all, I am a Captain America fan. Second of all, I am an Avengers freakosaurus. I tell people all the time, Star Wars movies and Avengers comics made me who I am today. And Civil War was the Avengers movie that I've wanted all my life. It was everything that I wanted. Even though it wasn't an Avengers movie, it was a Captain America movie. The number of characters, it was all about the conflict happening in the Avengers. Just great. Black Panther, I finally became a fan of his character. I've always thought Black Panther was a little bit overrated, but this was really cool. He was like the perfect mashup of Batman and Wolverine, and just really great. The addition of Ant-Man was spectacular, and of course the debut of the Marvel Universe, Spider-Man, just made everything perfect. For me, it was a magical movie, and it's number 2 on my top 5 list for 2016. Number 1, this is the best movie I saw all year, and that is the animated film from Laika Studios, Kubo and the Two Strings. I don't have time to go into everything that's good about this movie, other than it is a visual masterpiece. The story is remarkable. The soundtrack is one of the best that I've heard in a long time. If you haven't seen Kubo and the Two Strings, and odds are you haven't, nobody went to see it in the theaters. It is available on DVD and Blu-ray and digital download. You can get it at Redbox. Go check this movie out. It is an animation, it's stop motion animation, but it is a animation masterpiece. Perfect. It was my favorite movie of 2016. All right, top five comic series of 2016. I'm going to go through these really quick because, unfortunately, I couldn't pick just five. So I had to cheat a little bit. And these are not in best to last order. These are just in random order. Star Wars, Dr. Aphra. We're on issue number two. Dr. Aphra is the best character to be introduced in the Star Wars universe. And she got her own spinoff series in November. So we're at issue number two. And she is a galactic archaeologist, but she is a little bit of a grave robber dealing in illegal galactic antiquities. So think female Star Wars universe Indiana Jones. You know, and she's got an evil battle droid that she's reprogrammed, a bounty hunter Wookiee that works with her. And of course, she debuted in the Darth Vader series as one of his minions. Just a great, great series. Fantastic. Go pick it up. And out of all of the Star Wars series, comic series, it is the most dieselpunk Star Wars series as well. Just like Rogue One is the most dieselpunk film. We really get a sense of that diesel era aesthetic in Dr. Aphra. All right, the next one is Hercules or Gods of War. This was launched as an ongoing series, but I knew from the very beginning it was a limited series at best. I think it went to 8 issues, but it was one of the best series of the year. It was all about Hercules coming back to the modern world and trying to find his place as a hero in the contemporary world, finding relevance again, a lot of introspection. But what I liked most about it was written like an old school comic series. It felt like I was reading something from, you know, written by Roy Thomas or Steve Englehart David Michelinie, you know, Jim Shooter, one of the old school writers who filled every page with story. It wasn't this decompressed storytelling. And I felt like, you know, each issue I read felt like I just read 3 issues of, you know, another book. Really, really great. I loved the artwork. It had that classic, you know, kind of 70s, 80s style to it. And it fit really well with the style of story writing. Just really, really great. Also on my top 5 or top 7, as it were, is Moonshine. And this is a brand new series. We're on issue number 3. This is from IDW, I believe, publishes this. And I can't find it in front of me for some reason. But it is basically 1930s, 1920s, rather, Appalachia. And it is about bootlegging werewolves who are trying to be recruited into the, you know, the Chicago Joe Mazzaria bootlegging syndicate. So this is before the rise of Al Capone. And really, really great artwork. It's by Brian Azzarello, and the artwork is, I don't have it in front of me. That's going to drive me crazy, but very painterly style, very similar to kind of the Tim Sale styles of the color books or the artists who did Four Eyes, that kind of really cool style. Check it out, Moonshine. Also on my best of 2016 list is from DC Comics, Hanna-Barbera's Future Quest by Jeff Parker and various artists. We're on issue number 8 right now, And this has been the best team book of 2016. I really wish the writers like of other team books like the Avengers and Justice League would really pay attention to what Jeff Parker is doing with this title. He's building the team very slowly. It's issue number 8, and we haven't seen them as a complete team yet. We've seen just pieces being put together, but in a very compelling story. The roller coaster is going downhill now, really hitting top speed, and I think issue number 9, we're going to see the full team assembled. But this is really, in my opinion, the way you write a team book. And he took a very similar style when he did King's Watch for Dynamite with the King's Features characters, Flash Gordon, Mandrake, and the Phantom. But Future Quest, definitely one of the top books of the year. Another Marvel book made the list, Power Man and Iron Fist. This book has just been spectacular. It is everything that I want in a comic book series. It's fun, it's fast, it's action-packed. There's tons of story, great characters. Danny Rand and Luke Cage work together like a kind of like a buddy cop movie. There's comedy, and the artwork is distinctive. Now, a lot of my friends have kind of been, you know, on the fence about the artwork because it is a little bit different, but that's why I like it. It's, you know, got a very different style, very distinctive style, and really worth reading. In my opinion, it's the best straight-up superhero series of the year. So it's by, the writer on this is David Walker, and the artist is Sanford Green. And Sanford Green just has this great, very loose style that I am a big fan of. Very distinctive, and I like it. So Power Man and Iron Fist. And by the way, the Christmas Annual was the single best comic I've ever read. Single issue comic I've ever read. So check that out. Also, Lobster Johnson, Metal Monsters of Midtown. This is from Dark Horse. It's by John Arcudi and Mike Mignola. And the artist on this, let me see, I had it right in front of me, is Tonsi Zonjic. Easy for you to say. And this was straight up the Dieselpunk comic of the year. Everything that Dieselpunks love visually and story-wise, aesthetically, this was it. So if you are looking for a straight up Dieselpunk comic, Lobster Johnson, Metal Monsters of Midtown is it. It was kind of like Batman 1989 meets Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow, in the format, the storytelling, the conflict with the giant robots. Great series. Along the same lines, straight up Dieselpunk, everything you want from Dieselpunk, Atomic Robo, Temple of Odd. This was a 4-issue series. Very fast-paced, but again, everything Dieselpunks want. It's set in the late 30s, just before the start of World War II. The Russians and the Chinese are working to develop an Earth-dominating super weapon, and the Japanese are trying to get control of it, seize control of it from the Chinese. And Atomic Robo, who was built by Tesla Dyne, Nikolai Tesla, AI, you know, artificial intelligence, super strong, invulnerable robot, is sent into China to capture the scientist who is developing the weapon or destroy it. And along the way, he teams up with some bandits, rebels, the Chinese army engages the weapon. It's an energy weapon that gives soldiers superpowers through the power of the Vril. And if you have heard that, you know that that's a power source that, you know, has existed in mythology and different myths for a long time. So Atomic Robo Temple of Odd. Last one, I said seven, I really meant eight, is one that really surprised me. Another one from Marvel, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And this is based on the Disney ride, the Disney train ride. But they built out this awesome Western story, and it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal series. I was completely surprised. It is by Hopeless Walker and Ruiz, and it's available as a collected edition graphic novel, hardcover. I highly recommend it. Oh, I said eight. I meant nine. The surprise of all of 2016, courtesy of Comic Bento, I got last week The Unbelievable Gwenpool in my Comic Bento. Now, I had avoided this book like the plague. It was not something that appealed to me at all, but here it comes in Comic Bento. I open the bento box and I pull it out. I was shocked that it was in the bento box because it's a brand new title. The collected trade paperback just came out a couple of weeks ago, and here it is in a bento box. I read it, blown away. Much like Power Man and Iron Fist, it's fun, it's funny, it's fast, action-packed, and the premise sounds horrible. It's about this girl named Gwen Poole, who is trapped in the Marvel Comics Universe 616 from our real world. And so she recognizes that she is in a comic book universe. She breaks the fourth wall talking to the audience about being in a comic book universe. She has all of this secret knowledge about the characters that she's, you know, grown up reading about, watching on TV or in the movies. And through a series of misadventures, you know, she believes that, you know, she was sent there to become a superhero. And through a series of misadventures, she becomes the lead hitman for MODOK. And, you know, I've always thought MODOK was the most lame villain ever. But they do a great job. They make him very funny. They make it very, they make him very powerful and kind of like this, you know, Grand Wizard of Oz kind of character, but without the guy behind the curtain that's just a goofball. Really great. Really, really great. Do yourself a favor. Pick up Gwen, The Unbelievable Gwenpool, and the collected edition is called Believe It, and it's issues 0 through 6. All right, top 5 TV of 2016, and we are done with this first episode of Tales from the Flip Side, getting your dose of comics, pop culture from a diesel punk perspective. Top 5, Daredevil Season 2 on Netflix. The whole cast was fantastic. The introduction of Jon Bernthal as the Punisher was tack perfect. We had some great scenes shot like they were directly from the comic book page of Frank Miller's classic run. Really, really great. That's number 5. Number 4 is another Marvel series on Netflix, Luke Cage. And this series was the first series that I binge-watched over a period of 24 hours. I watched the entire series within 24 hours. Something I've never done before, never done since. But it was, for me, that good. It was that compelling. And, you know, I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty on today's show because we're just kind of going through what I think was the best of the year. But one of the reasons I thought it was so good was because it had villains, in particular Cottonmouth, that you really related to and had a hard time disliking. And I think all good villains should be likable and relatable. And they did a great job with Cottonmouth. Just the whole series is fantastic. It kind of fits between Jessica Jones and Daredevil season 2. So if you're looking for the chronological order, that's where they fit. And of course, leading up to Iron Fist in here in just a few short months, and Defenders later in 2017. Also on my top five is Timeless. And if you're a diesel punk, and I think most of you are because you're listening to this podcast, this is a great series. It's a time travel adventure show. Three people from the present are chasing down this time traveling assassin named Flynn, who is traveling back in time to change history. And as you go through the series, his motivation becomes very clear. And like all good villains, it is clear that he is not really the villain. He's made to appear to be the villain, but really, he is not. That's all I'll say, because I don't want to spoil it. I want you to go watch it. Some of the episodes take place in the 70s or the 60s, some in revolutionary times. There's an Abraham Lincoln episode, but there are quite a few episodes that take place in the diesel age. And so they become, diesel punk by default. It is not a diesel punk series, but it is a time travel series with diesel punk episodes and overtones. Lastly, two more. Kimmy Schmidt, also a Netflix original. Season 2 of Kimmy Schmidt. I don't even know where to begin with this one. It's the funniest series I've seen in a long time, and just makes me laugh out loud. I want to be Titus Andromedon when I grow up. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just stop right now. Go watch the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Last but not least, top five of 2016 best TV. Also a Netflix original series. Netflix is doing some great stuff. Stranger Things. Stranger Things was the best series I've seen in a long time. The best TV show I've seen in a long time. Just masterfully written, beautifully acted, and the story hit all of the right notes. You know, it was created to be an homage to 1980s era movies and TV and pop culture, and man, it hit it right out of the park. There are parts of the movie where you are taken back to your childhood and remember watching Goonies for the first time, or Stand By Me, or E.T. There are some scenes that are, I believe, shot frame by frame to mimic those original movies. And there are probably more influences that I'm not thinking of. And of course, the kids in the series were breakout stars. The girl who played Eleven was phenomenal. But the huge surprise, the show stealer, was Winona Ryder. What a comeback. I feel so happy for her. You know, she was the it girl when I was a kid, when I was a teenager and in junior high and high school. And, she was it. And, of course, in the early 2000s, she's busted for shoplifting and her career withers on the vine and she disappears. This is her big comeback. And, they're talking Emmy wins and all of that stuff. Fantastic. Season 2 is coming up. They're working on that right now. But if you haven't seen Stranger Things, go see it right now. Best TV show of the year, hands down. I want to give an honorable mention, because I had to pick 5. Really, I should have picked 6. To 11/22/63, time travel adventure with James Franco, going back in time to prevent the assassination of John F. Kennedy. That's all I'll say. It's a Hulu original, and you can check that out. But best hands down of the year is Stranger Things. Well, guys and gals, that's my top 5 or so movies, TV, and comic series of 2016. I would love to get your comments, find out what your top five was, what your favorites were, what you thought was the best. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let me know. Feedback at dieselpoweredpodcast.com or BigDaddyCool at BigDaddyCoolShows.com. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/dieselpoweredpodcast/BigDaddyCoolShows. Follow us on Twitter, Diesel Podcast, BDC Magic. And of course, follow our sponsors. Go visit our sponsors, Comic Bento at mycomicbento.com. You can get $50 worth of graphic novels for less than 20 bucks every month. It's like Christmas or your birthday every month. And, you know, I talked about getting Gwenpool in Comic Bento. I got Big Thunder Mountain Railroad in my Comic Bento this year. Just do it. You'll be glad you did. Go to mycomicbento.com. Also, check out Audible at audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. If you are a fan of audio content, and I assume that you are because you're listening to this show, then you want to check out Audible. They've got over 100,000 books and programs on audio format, including my book, Tales from the Flip Side. You could get it free just for checking them out. Free on us. And any title that you pick is yours to keep in a lossless format, whether you become a member of Audible or not. So check them out at audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. Well, guys and gals, that is it for this episode. The very first episode of Tales from the Flip Side 2. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know. Go on iTunes, give us a good review. We'll be syndicating this show through the Diesel Powered Podcast for a while, but it will also be available as its own separate download, starting with this very first episode. So thanks for tuning in, and until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.